Holy Spirit, we thank you, Lord God. You're the one that speaking to our hearts, connecting to our spirits. That it is not my words, but it is your words, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, whatever I share that is from your heart, from my father's in heaven, from your heart, Lord God, that you connect to each one of us individually and speak to our hearts, our spirits, and bring restoration, minister to us, comfort us, bring revelation to us, Lord God, and bring freedom to us. Help us to surrender what we think to you. We thank you, Lord God. You're the God who reveal all truth to us. We praise you, we thank you, and glorify your name. Amen. So, we have been having a season of the teachings about sonship. And 2 weeks ago, Holly was preaching about sonship. And that followed on David, who came down from Cornerstone Church in Bray, who's talking about son consciousness instead of sin consciousness. And I kind of felt that God has been speaking to me of exact same thing. And when I was preparing these words, God was speaking to me that even the same passage that Holly used, the prodigal son story. And I was thinking of like, Lord, Holly already done a great job with that. Is there anything else that you want me to share? What do you want me to share about that? Why are we still going to the same passage? And God brought me to maybe different aspect of it. And sometimes we could hear a same message, but from different people. All of us bring a different angle, different facet, and we add to it. And it builds from that. Even the gospel, we have four of them. Some of them are repeated. You know, like what happened to Jesus and what was Jesus teaching? And they all have different flavor from Matthew, Luke, Mark, John. And they're all very good. And I feel that this is the same. So it might be repeating a lot of the same thing. But if God is emphasized on certain aspect of it, maybe it's just mean that we need to hear it. And sonship is one of those things. It's really very much focused on our identity to God, our identity in the kingdom of God. And it is also a part of our response to, and it gives us revelation of when we talk about sonship, how do we see our Heavenly Father? So if we're talking about sonship, that, you know, like the prodigal son story, he went away from home, he squandered all the inheritance, and he just said, I'm going to go home. But for each one of us, if we don't have a healthy perspective of what our Heavenly Father is like, a lot of the people might think of, do I want to go home even? A lot of the time we might not even think that we can go home because we might think that our Father would not forgive us. And then you have the older son who was in the father's house. He was enjoying, should I say, quotation mark, the inheritance, but he wasn't enjoying it because he was slaving away with it. The younger son wanted the inheritance. He went to the father, said, give me my portion of the inheritance. But he didn't want the relationship with his father. Not until he was in the most dire situation. And then he recognized what he had done. So each one of us as believers, if we have a wrong perspective of what our Father in heaven is like, it might warp our relationship with God in that sense. A lot of people can come to faith through the cross of Jesus. As Jesus say, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But we might come to the cross. We receive Jesus and we receive salvation. But it's almost like that's it. Father God is constantly angry until I've done this, I've done that. That will actually hinder us in our faith, because we will come to the cross, we'll have great relationship, revelation of who Jesus is, but we will always feel we're not good enough as a believer. So sonship is really how do we, what's our relationship with the Father is like? Geraldine this morning when she started worship, she said, what's our relationship with Jesus like? My message is, what is our relationship with our Heavenly Father is like? No, just now Steve was challenging us to know that we're blessed. If we don't have a rightful perspective of our God, because the words say, if you keep my commandment, if you do this, if you keep my word, then you're blessed. Then we're thinking of like, well, I haven't done this. I haven't done that. I've read the words. I definitely haven't done that one. So I'm not blessed. And then we will kind of like keep measuring ourselves of, am I blessed because I'm in my Father's house and I have given my life to Jesus? Or is this more of a conditional thing? I can only be blessed. Or is it more the blessing is coming from because I am in my Father's house? I am blessed because I am there. And I have the inheritance. Holy Spirit is part of my inheritance, and He's going to empower me to live the way that God called me to live. So when we have a wrong perspective of what it's like to be in the Father's house, we just come to the cross and we will feel like this is it. This is as good as it gets until I get to heaven. And we're missing out a great part of the inheritance that we have while on earth. And a lot of the perspective of that wrong thinking, Holly mentioned about we could have an orphan mindset. And she talked about when she was working in an orphanage in Africa, about when they have the shoe days, the kids will be so excited getting new shoes, but then they have some of the kids will be the most horrible days because they have to let go of the old shoes. Even though the new shoes are there, the one that will fit better, but they will be holding so tight onto the old one, old ones. And that really spoke to me in a sense because I was adopted by my uncle and auntie when I was very young age. So I had that orphan mindset. I completely identify when I'm holding onto something. I was holding onto, you're not my parents. I was holding onto, this is not what I want. And there was the time when there was not much counseling or anybody could just really sat me down. And I'm not blaming my family, or they're loving. But it's almost like until I could understand it, I kept pushing them away, no matter how loving they were. And then you have people turn around to me and say, wow, you're blessed. Just stay there. Stop crying. This is a good situation, you know, like. And for me, it was like from a very young age, I think I started living with them when maybe I was 3. I was young. I didn't understand it. And nobody actually know how to talk to me about it. So that was quite a few years of just me pushing them. I didn't want anything to do with them. And I ended up being very jealous of my sister, my younger sister, because my younger sister, she was younger than me. So somebody showing her love, she just receiving it. So I ended up being very jealous of my younger sister. But, and then we end up fighting a lot. And one day, or maybe about 6 or something, I pushed her. And then she ended up bleeding. And I think, oh, when I saw the blood, I was like, oh, I don't want to do that, because she was crying. And I didn't like how awful I was. So I stopped being jealous of her. But at the same time, I was still just not happy. And now my adopted parent, my uncle and auntie, they're Christians. So we used to go to church. And somebody, I think maybe I was about maybe 8 or something, 7 or 8. Somebody turned around to actually say, "You're very blessed, you know that. You have your birth parents, and then now you have your adopted parents. You're very loved." That switch, that completely changed my mindset when I realized, yeah, actually I am blessed. And that changed my relationship with my uncle and auntie, that I call them mom and dad. I'm closer with them. It didn't mean that I rejected my parents. And that mindset is the same as believers. Sometimes we're holding on to stuff of what we think it should be or how we think it should be. Because when we're holding on to that, we missed the blessing that God has given us. I know that God has blessed me with people who love me growing up when my birth parents couldn't do it. It wasn't because they didn't love me. They just weren't in a situation where they could. So part of it is, my message is about this believing and letting go and receiving. They're all intertwined. It's not like you will only receive if you believe and let go. Quite often it's almost like as you're letting go, you receive. But sometimes it's, you keep receiving and then it just dawns on you, oh, I don't need to keep holding to my old shoes. I could just keep on receiving, and then it just dawned on me, oh, and believe God really loves me. So it's that intertwine of the 3 points I want to talk about today, believing and letting go and receiving. And as believers, how would that empower us? And that will actually change our viewpoint of our Heavenly Father and change our viewpoint of as believers. We all receive life, salvation, when we give our life to Jesus. But sometimes as believers, we might be more like older brothers. We're in the Father's house, but we're slaving away. And we might not really believe God is actually really that good. We might believe that we actually have to be really matching exactly everything the Bible says. Then God will bless me. But I don't believe that's how God wants us to have relationship with Him. God wants us to shower us with His love. It is through relationship that we can live the way that God calls us to live. It is through the gift, our inheritance of the Holy Spirit, the empowerment. Everything has been given to Christ, power and authority. And He's sitting at the right hand of our Heavenly Father. And then God, that we are co-heir with Christ. And that is who we are. And that is our inheritance. It's not inheritance, it's not just until we go to heaven. So believing, first part is, as sinners, for people maybe do not even know God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. That whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. It is about believing. In another way, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." What is the Father like? We can come to Jesus. What is the Father like? Let's read on. "If you had known me, you have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." That's this disciple talking, asking Jesus. And Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit. That's the relationship we receive from Jesus. Through Jesus that we could come to the Father. And then what is the Father like? And Jesus said, do you know all the things that I'm doing? Have we read the Bible, how Jesus is? He loves us. He did all the miracles. He fed with the people when they're hungry. He fed them spiritual food. But more importantly, he died. He gave his life for each one of us. And that is the Father's heart. So when we actually know Jesus, we know the Father. We know his heart. We know how much he loves us. And we can go to the Father without fear what Father is like. And a lot of people, when they say, I can get to Jesus, but I just can't get God. I just can't get Father God. And that's like, read everything about Jesus. That's what the Father God is like. Do we believe that? Can we let go of what we think Father God is like? Can we actually say, Lord God, I have so much fear about what you're like. Or say, I don't really know you, Father God, but I want to know you more. And I'm surrendering who I think you are. And I'm choosing to say, Lord God, show me. Reveal yourself to me. I'm choosing to believe. And that's part of letting go. And sometimes we might need people to show us that love. A lot of the time when people go to church, maybe because the people are nice, they give you tea and coffee. We get cakes. We have fellowships. We have people who just hug us and shake hands and accept us. That's all nice. But letting go sometimes is letting go of our worldly thing. We might even have to let go of surrendering of our families. Some of us come to know God, we might have to end up, our family say, we don't want to know you anymore. And we have rejections. There are lots of things that we do have to let go of. There are things that we have to let go of, our perspective of what we think God is like. And there is letting go of holding onto the world, of the things in the world. And there is letting go of people in our lives who loves us but does not want to have Jesus. They don't want to know God. So when we're holding on to God and they say that, well, goodbye. It could be friends. It could be families. So our perspectives of where we are with God has to be God first. That really come back to the first commandment. Love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. That's this portions of Bible in Luke. It was actually in 14. It's actually just before the parable when Jesus talked about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. Just before that. This is the passage. And there's a word that say hate. It actually say hate your father and mother. So before I read that passage, I want to actually explain that word in the Aramaic. It could mean the metaphor for putting Jesus above every other relationship. So it's not like hate as in it's like I hate my parents, but actually mean putting God above every other relationship. So in the Aramaic word has several meanings. It can mean hate, actually hate, like hating sins, or it could be mean put aside. So since Jesus, God, who call us to love, who call us to honor our parents, is not going to be telling us to hate our parents in that sense. But it's actually could, the meaning could also mean put aside every other relationship into second place. Then we, as we read this passage, it will make a lot more sense. So I'm going to read that now. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king go out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sent a delegate and asked for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. There's a lot of areas in our lives that we have to let go as we follow Jesus. Quite often we let go of what we think we need or want. In my case, I have to let go of what my mindset is. I can only be happy if I have my own mom and dad. But when I let that go and accept I am blessed, God is with me and he's blessed me with people who parents me with love, my life changed. My adopted parents, my uncle and auntie, their love didn't change. My life changed because I let go. My relationship with them changed. And then I have my relationship still with my mom, my birth mom. And that all changed too. When that changed, so whenever we have family get together, it's a happy time. I have great relationship with them all. And it's because my mindset of changed, I can receive love in a way that I didn't understand before. But I do also still have to let go of pleasing my parents, or like I said, my parents are my adopted parents are believers. So after I changed my mindset, my relationship with them changed dramatically, and it was really good. But there are times in my life, okay, I did went away from God for 15 years, and then I came back. So I came back with God, relationship with God for 20 years now. But there are times in my life when my view of what I need to do because of my Heavenly Father called me to do, called us, Steve and myself, did not match what my dad view. What do? I still have to follow what my Heavenly Father's view is. He wanted us to serve him. So in that sense, I have to stand on a place of, I wasn't dishonoring my earthly dad, but I was following my Heavenly Father's will. It was difficult, but I can trust God to work in my earthly dad's mind because he walks with God. God can speak to him, and God did. And it was a big miracle for us. So that is letting go of trusting in God to work in my family's life too. Otherwise, it's just me trying to make it happen. And then that came with that part of the receiving. When God has each one of us has a purpose in our lives, but it comes from receiving from God first, receiving His love, understanding His love, receiving the work that Jesus has done on the cross. And there are lots of scriptures about inheritance, lots of scriptures about co-heir, that we are heir, we're children of God. And as we actually seek God in that place of receiving from Him, the older brother was in the father's house, but he didn't understand his inheritance. He didn't understand all that his father has is his. It's almost like because he couldn't believe it. And he was working like a servant, as a slave. And because he didn't believe it, so the inheritance that he did have, he wasn't using it the way that it's meant to use. It's almost like in a modern world, if somebody has a big company, like say it's a generational, long, big companies, the child's born, they knew, even as they're growing up, that that's their inheritance. They knew when they're growing up that they'll be trained or they'll be learning or then going to school with a mindset that that is their inheritance, that they are the heir of that company. Now, in a lot of the movies or dramas, we might see them siblings fighting who's going to get it. But in the kingdom of God, we are all co-heir. We all have our inheritance, and we all have that calling from God. When we believe, it's not about us keep on serving and serving, and God still won't even, you know, in the prodigal son story, the older brother say, you didn't even give me goats, do you know how long I've been working for? But actually, when we believe it, our language change, our position change, our posture change. When we believe it, we actually believe it, and the way that we do things will be different. So as we're serving God, after the church retreat, we were talking about spiritual gifts. When we actually tap into the understanding of that relationship with Father God, it's not about just us slaving away, but it's actually part of the inheritance. So it became partnering with God. It's about receiving of what Jesus have done on the cross, that we're serving God, not out of a slave mentality, not even out of a servant mentality, but as a son. It will give us a different perspective when we serve. We serve with a son's mindset. God doesn't want slaves. He wants us to partner with Him and serve in the kingdom of heaven as sons. We've been, when Steve took over the church, even actually before he did, when Kyle was pastoring, we would have been invited to a lot of leadership meetings. And a lot of them is not about actually how to build church. A lot of them is actually about sonship. A lot of them is actually about our identity. A lot of them is actually about how we see God. Because when we're serving from a poverty mindset or an orphan mindset, we will keep serving and we will get worn out and we will just say, Lord, why is this happening? Why is that happening? So majority of all those leadership meetings is actually about sonship. So when we're talking about, after the church retreat, we're talking about the spiritual gifts. For people who have spiritual gift, we all have spiritual gift, but if we're serving with an orphan mindset versus a sonship, it will have a different atmosphere. It will have a different way of doing things. And of course, we all want to be able to serve God with a healthy mindset, with a healthy understanding of who God is. There are lots of relationship breaks up when we don't understand, when we don't understand our position, or when we don't understand who God is and who we are. And that end up being a lot of the churches might have breaks up, or people will be fighting, or jealousy, or competitions. People will be comparing themselves with others, one ministry to another ministry, or even you have two people serving in a team. One will be very free and the other one will be more religious mindset. And all of those struggles that come in. But when we serve God with a healthy sonship relationship, with an understanding of who God is, it will change the church. So I don't believe it's only for leaderships. I think it's important for everybody in the church to know. And have that healthy understanding who we are and who God is. So Geraldine was asking, what's your relationship with Jesus like? My question is, what's your relationship with Father God like? When we sing about Father's arms is open wide, when we talk about how God loves us, how does that make you feel? Does you always feel like I'm not good enough because I haven't read enough Bibles, haven't prayed enough, haven't worshiped enough? Do you feel Father God is never happy with you? What is your perspective? How is your relationship with Father God is like? That's a question for each one of us. Because if we think Father God is an angry God sitting up high, waiting to judge us, we would not want to go to the Father's arms. We would just come to the cross and we just say, thank you, Jesus. And that's it, waiting to go to heaven. And when we preach the gospel to others, when we share God's love with others, we can share Jesus, the cross. But we might miss a part of how much Father God loves us and his blessing for each one of us. The scripture Steve was using, we are blessed. We are blessed that Jesus died on the cross for us so we can have that relationship with Father God. It is a son consciousness of what Jesus has done on the cross, that he is pleased with us, that we are salvation is because of our faith in Jesus. And we receive the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that empower us to walk in freedom from sins, from death, from sins that bring destructions. Satan do not want us to know how powerful we are in Christ. Satan will put everything that he could to block us to have that relationship with God. But Jesus came so we could have life and life abundance. We can have relationship restored with our Father. So when we come home, the younger brother, he was thinking, I will go home to be a servant. Even the servant have left over more food than they need. And he was sitting with the pigs as a Jewish person. That's like the worst things because they don't even eat pork. So to be even looking after the most unclean things, animals, and wanting to eat the food that the pigs eat, you can't get any worse than that. And he just said, I'm going to go home. The thing when I had my often mindset, I'll be thinking of like, it's too late. I've done it. I've spent all the inheritance. I have no right to go home at all. And I will keep on sitting and wallowing in that place until, well, that's it. But there's the audacity of that younger son just said that, I'm going to go home. I'm going to say sorry to my father. He actually had that sonship understanding that, what does it make him think that he can go home? Okay, he still not understand fully his dad's love because he was thinking he'll go home to be a servant. But he actually sitting there thinking, even the servants have better food, have better treatment. I'm going to go home. So how often do we think that I've done it now, I can't go home? It's too late. There's nothing for me. But the younger said, I'm going to go home. And then when he went home, he believed. He knows his father's. Did he even question? Maybe he won't even take me as a servant. What would happen to me then? But he went. And when he was still far away, the father saw him. And the father ran to him. Ran to his son, the prodigal son. And that is the picture that Jesus wants us to understand, father's love. The younger son did not deserve it. That's what the older brother is saying. He didn't deserve that. Religious mindset will keep us saying we have to earn it. We have to prove ourselves. The older brother will probably say, yes, well done, you come home, great. Now prove yourself. You can be a slave first, and then if you've done well enough, we might give you a bit more responsibility. You can be a servant, and then you can work your way up, but you will never be a son again. You will never have any more inheritance because you used them all. That will be a religious mindset. We have to prove ourselves. But the father's heart was, I'm so excited that you're home. He gave him shoes, the sandals, that really restore his standing as a son. He gave him a cape, a robe, that represents the covering of the father. It was the father's robe. And he also gave him his ring that represents the authority. He didn't even wait for his son to get cleaned up. He didn't say, go and soak in the river and wash all the dirt off first, and then I will hug you. If my son come home from camping, covered with mud, I said, I love you. Now go and wash. But this father who saw his son coming, he just ran to him. And he didn't say, wait until you washed up before I give you my best robe. He just gave him those things to receive him back as his son. And we are children of God when we just come to the Father through our Lord Jesus. In this story, was told by Jesus. It's told by the Son of our Heavenly Father, who did not just slave away or who did not sin, but he gave his life for us. And that is what we have. We are co-heir with Christ because of what Jesus has done for us. We can come to the Father. How many of us here, actually, when we read the Bible, when we actually have that connection with God, we actually have a greater connection with the Father? Can you put your hands up? Anybody? Actually, I'm going to ask you to stand up, please, if that's okay. Would you please stand up? That you feel your relationship with God, that you have that connection with Father God.
With Father God,
stronger with Father God. And who here actually struggle with that? Maybe is it other people sit down? Or maybe you are sitting down because you're too shy to stand up. That's okay. I'm actually asking because in the prodigal story, the oldest son did not want to join in the celebration. The oldest son did not even want to accept his brother. He said to the father, "This son of yours." He did not want to have anything to do with his younger brother. He has rejected him. So I just say that for those people who have stood up, you have something precious to give to the body of Christ, because a lot of people will struggle, or they might have not understand that. And the reason I ask you to stand up is maybe you guys can stand up and go around and give a hug to those people who struggle. And if God gives you something, to pray for the other person. And that is our calling, I suppose, in one sense, of reveal or live out that love that God has for us. And as we have that revelation, we can give it to others. I'm just going to pray. And if Geraldine can play some music afterwards. And for those people that you feel that you have that. Now, I'm not saying we will have perfect understanding of God's love, because this is a journey. Each one of us are still walking with God, and we're getting greater and greater revelations, and God will continue to reveal to us who God is, Father God is. He's continued to reveal how much Jesus loves us, the power of the cross. And it might be in stages, it might be in season that we will get more. So as I'm praying, I'm going to ask if anybody really wants to have that connections with Father God and to know the inheritance, and said, I feel like I'm missing out a lot and I want to know more. Be open. Be open and say in your heart, Father God, I'm tired of holding onto the old shoes. I'm tired of holding onto how I want my life, how it's supposed to be. I'm tired of it. I'm too scared to let go. But you said in you there's no fear. You didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound mind. Fear is not from God. Fear of God in the wrong sense, that we don't want to go to him or we can't go to him, is not the right type of fear when God talk about fear God. It's more a fear of not having God. So Lord God, we come before you as your children. Father God, you love us, for God so loved the world that you give us your only begotten Son. We open our hearts to you, Lord God. We say, take away that fear. Take away our old mindset of that we have to prove ourselves. That you're never happy with us unless if we do this and that. Let us come to you as children who running to the Father's arms and receive from you blessing, to receive from you of who you say we are as a child of God. Lord God, let us come to you We might not be in a place that feeling that we are the prodigal son because we have said that we have already come to the cross. But we still have the hesitation of coming to the Father. Lord, we want to come to you as you open wide your arms and we just be a child that completely just run to your arms. Thank you, Lord God, of your love. Thank you, Lord God, that you're the one that did everything. You poured out everything. You gave us everything to connect us back to you. Even from the time Adam and Eve sinned and broke the covenant, that relationship. But yet you were the one that gave your everything so we can be connected with you again. That we are your sons, we are your daughters because of your love. That as we sing, our Father's hearts, our arms are open wide, and that we can come to you. And we break every curse, every lies of the enemies that say we can't. We break every lies of the enemy that say that we are not good enough. We reject those words. The thieves came to kill, steal, and destroy. But Lord Jesus, you came to give us life and life abundance. So through you, Lord Jesus, our older brother, we thank you, Lord Jesus, of your cross, your suffering, so we could come boldly into the throne of grace and receive from our heavenly Father our inheritance. That we are now called sons and daughters of our Most High God. That we are children of God. We glorify your name. We praise you, Lord God. Holy Spirit, work in our hearts. We surrender everything to you. Let go of it. And we believe. And we say we're believer. Because we are believers. They're not just words that we say. But it's actually an action that we do. We say we believe. Say it in your own. Even say it out loud. And break the power of the enemy. That say that you can't. Say it out loud. I believe. I believe my Father is good. I believe there's blessing, an abundant blessing waiting for me. It's already there. It's already mine because of what Jesus did. Say it out loud. If you find a struggle to believe it, keep saying it. Because there's power in our words. It breaks the enemy's stronghold because we're saying of what God say that we have. So Lord God, we thank you. As your children, we thank you. When we have given our life to you, we adopted in your family, that we have inheritance. It's not an inheritance that only when we die, but that our Lord Jesus already died for us. That we inherit this inheritance when we give our life to Jesus, when we surrender to you. So we receive from you, Lord God, blessing. We receive from you relationship. We receive from you restoration. We receive from you everything that you have for us. Glorify your name. And we celebrate with each other's freedom. We celebrate with each other's calling. We celebrate with each other's giftings. And we will be your sons and daughters who will welcome our brothers and sisters when they come in through the door. We'll say, we celebrate with them. We celebrate each other's success. We celebrate each other's giftings and callings. And we encourage each other. We thank you, Lord God. We praise you in Jesus' name. So, if you really feel that you have saying, like, I really want prayers, those people that have stood up, they understand. Maybe that's just something, that connection for me. I mean, for me, I have it because of my life experience, that I have been living this life, that knowing that God has blessed me. It's like my testimony in a sense. It took me years to connect with the cross, but I've connected with Father God's heart very early on. And that's just my testimony, but we all have different testimony. And let us give love, and let us receive love from each other, and let us be God's love agents to hug each other and welcome each other in a way that is God called us to do. Amen.